seems like every breath of hope has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And we welcome you to Hope is Alive this Wednesday evening. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard. How are you?
I am abundantly blessed and walking in the Spirit, and my cup runneth over with goodness and mercy and blessings. How about you?
That just says it just perfect for me as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm highly favored.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. Blessings from Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City.
And I know we've got some callers scheduled, so I'll sure let you know when they come on, and I will be standing by.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about those who have been set free from whatever had been tormenting them in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com, and there is a wealth of information available right there at the internet. Just about everything that we talk about is on that each night is on that website, or you can call the office at 307-742-7582, and you can order the book that Pastor Cox has written, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's a basic hand guide. Laying out the scriptures, laying out the procedures, laying out everything you need to know to perform deliverance, not only on yourself, but for others, and to help people get set free, because Jesus is still setting the captives free. Isn't that right, Pastor Cox?
That is affirmative, Brother Ralph. How exciting it is that this is normal Christianity. It's not a special gift area, as we've been able to teach people from all different churches that have come through our training here in Oklahoma City and to learn how to do deliverance. And it's awesome to see the results, and also how exciting it is for the minister that God will use us this way. So, yes, hallelujah.
I'd like to read a scripture, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And that confessions are not only confessions of our sins, but the confessions of our I ams, what we are in Jesus. And we can hold fast through that because of the Son of God. We do have certain confessions that we can hold to. And I just want to remind everyone out there of the I Am Confessional that you can get. There's one right off that website, or we have one that Scriptures for America put together, probably almost 13, 14 years ago. It may not be quite that long, but I know it's been at least 7 or 8. And you can get that. It's also available at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. I believe it's on there as well. But that's really important to practice those confessions, the I Am Confessionals, the confessing those positives you are in Jesus, the positives that you are in Christ because of what he accomplished for us as our high priest. And that is one of the keys to staying free. And as I read that tonight, reading in Hebrews, I just thought, well, I'll just remind everybody out there because it's so good to remember those things that you are in Christ, because the enemy will try to remind you of things that you aren't, and the enemy will lie to you and tell you negatives when we have so much positives in Jesus.
And praise God, and as a matter of fact, I went through all the I Ams that we hand out on the yellow handout. They're also on our website, deliveranceusa.com. Under ministry tools, and you can find the I Ams, even print them off. But I read all of them out loud today, and every time I do it, I want to beat my chest. I say that over and over, but it's so exciting to find out who we are in Jesus. And for so many years, I was born again when I was 13, but I was age 44 before I started learning this. So it is great for any Christian to get hold of it. I also took communion today, and that's always powerful. We take communion with our teams on Monday nights before we go over for ministry, and then sound shofars off, and the pulling down of strongholds and initiating the activity to victory spiritually and driving these spirits out and for physical healing. Now, we do have an exciting testimony coming up at 9:15 of an interesting healing, bone healing, broken foot healing, with the x-rays and all that this man will share coming up. So, we see this just about every Monday night, various miracles of all types, and that's what Jesus commanded us to do, these supernatural things, and as a Christian, it's certainly exciting. Once I saw all this going on, I sure wanted to see more of it. That was 40 years ago, and I haven't stopped yet. Hallelujah. How about you, Ralph?
Oh, it amazes me each week when we hear the testimonies and the testimonies that come across that the power of Jesus still works just today as it did during the time of the Book of Acts with when Jesus walked this earth and his apostles walked this earth. And that's speaking of healing, that's one of those things in the confessionals that you can say is, by his stripes I am healed. And one of those ways that you can obtain that healing is through communion. A communion is for our healing and for our benefit. And there is, the word says, do this often in remembrance of me. So often, to me, sounds like you can do it any time of the week and should do it often, because that's what we're commanded to do. And that is part of our healing. And as you take communion, you can realize that the stripes laid upon Jesus' back is part of that confession for you, and you can hold to that confession because we're told we can hold fast. And you can say those things, by his stripes I am healed. And you can visualize that healing and wherever that needs to be, whether it be in a broken foot, a knee, a heart, from cancer, or a toothache or anything like that. Nothing's too small and nothing's too big for our Jesus. So we can stand upon those promises. by his stripes I am healed. We can stand upon the promises there in Psalms 103 where it says the Lord heals not some of our diseases, but all of our diseases. And I just praise the Lord for the ability for us to abide in him. And that's a good thing to do, is take communion often.
Amen. Amen. And we had 12 cases this last Monday, minister for each. And I had kind of a routine case. I could not get the head demon up. That only works typically in about 1 out of 3 people. It's there in all of them, but as everybody varies in their sensitivities to the spiritual world, and some are more sensitive than others, so that works out to be about 1 out of 3. Well, I couldn't get it up, so I had to do what we call basic deliverance. That is, having gone through the steps, which we do in any case, the breaking of ungodly soul ties and the inner healing of traumas and wounds of the past that carry bad feelings. Jesus supernaturally takes those bad feelings from those traumas that have tormented people in many cases since childhood. And then at that point, I would try for the head demon. Since I couldn't get it up, then I went to the basic, working his list. And it was quite routine. Nothing spectacular. He did yawn a couple of times. It, as a minister, it didn't look like a whole lot was happening. But he did say from time to time he was feeling him come out. It wasn't obvious to us. It was two people, two trainees sitting in with me. And we finally wound up, and he says, "Oh, I feel so much lighter." So we scored, no doubt. I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but there's no way he wouldn't be better again. You know, going through these steps that we've learned to do that are time-proven and that are available in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, with Scriptures for America.
Yeah, and it is pretty simple to get it done. It's always a little bit better when you're doing a deliverance if they're a little bit more outward. Trying to think of the outward expression of things going out, because it does sometimes. You're sitting there, you're thinking, "Well, I wonder if anything's happening." But as they're speaking it, as you're commanding things, you just have to stand upon the unseen that it is happening. But I've had done deliverance with somebody before, and I'm like, "Man, I don't think anything's going on here at all." And after it's done, he says, "Wow, you know, I feel so much better." And you're thinking, "Well, that's awesome, because it didn't seem like anything was happening." Because right. We kind of like those where we can get right aggressive into them, but we just have to stand upon the promise that the word is performing itself as it's being spoken.
Yeah, I was the same way the first one I ran into, which was probably close to 40 years ago. I thought nothing had happened because nothing, it didn't appear it was. And even my daughter was with me when we were doing that case, and we walked out and we looked at each other and we said, "Where'd we miss on this, you know?" And yet the reports came back a couple of weeks later how what we addressed, and we went through the steps that we knew to do then, she was overhauled, you know, with those problem areas were gone. And in fact, that young lady went on, she couldn't even talk. Her parents had to fill out the list, a problem list. She couldn't even talk, so we just did the best we could, and she was so overhauled in Jesus' name that evening that she later became a nurse. And then last I heard, she was heading up some wing in a hospital or something, her dad was telling me. So, you know, it's not by sight, but it's, as a Christian speaks the word performs itself.
It does. It does. Pastor, we have Anthony and Heather with us. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you. Good to be here.
Are you there? All right. Exciting that you're here. And Ralph's on with me up in Missouri. Ralph's here in south of Oklahoma City in a little town called Noble. Well, why don't you share some background on yourself quickly there, Anthony, so look for some quick history, and then how you've even become a team leader, and then about the some of your deliverances recently, especially the case about the broken foot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got into this. Actually, we started, did the training about a year ago, went through the training up in Oklahoma City, and then I actually learned about it several years ago with actually a family friend of ours that had a stroke, and his daughter was practicing this deliverance healing, and he actually, they told him he'd never walk again, and it just a horrible thing. His medical would never be better, and he not only got better, he walked out, and which they said was a miracle in itself, and he went on to become a deliverance minister. And then he ended up passing away, and I got in touch with his daughter when I was having some other issues, and she started doing ministering deliverance to me. And I said, her name was Jennifer, and I said, Jennifer, how do I learn about this stuff? And she says, well, she actually told me about coming up to Oklahoma City and going through Everett Cox. She said, you need to go up there and go through the class, and you can actually become a minister in about 5 to 6 weeks. And I went through the training, and my wife and I did it together, and for the last year, we've been doing it and enjoying it every second of it, and no Monday night is the same. They're always just so awesome. And
Anthony, you might quickly share also, you came for deliverance yourself first and had some spectacular deliverance of problems that had bothered you for decades. You might quickly share that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was terrified of thunderstorms. And if there was a 20% chance of rain, I wouldn't leave the house. That's how scared I was of them. And I went to your office, Everett, and we ministered. And you brought the, when the fear originally originated, I was 4 years old, and I was in a trip in Colorado in a bad storm, and I was absolutely terrified. And that was the root cause of it. From 4 years old until a year ago, I would not leave the house if 20% chance of rain. And it's so funny, yesterday we actually left to go to Texas in a driving pouring down rain 15 minutes after there had been a tornado warning. So you can imagine what kind of weather we were driving through. And it even surprises me to this day that I have absolutely no fear at all. I know the Holy Spirit's there. I saw him when I was 4 years old, whenever you told me to, you know, let Jesus did do the inner healing. I knew Jesus was there. Jesus was there with me then. And anytime I even think about getting nervous, I think Jesus is right in this seat beside me, and the fear is gone immediately. And it's just
that's
absolute
right.
A miracle that, you know, from the
that's
change that
Jesus.
I've had in my own life.
Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. And then you had a fear of flying.
Yes, I did. I did. Same thing. I was actually in a storm while we were flying. And I always had a fear of flying, and it just overwhelming. Even would have nightmares about it. And I got over that, and I have no fear, and all life is good. I mean, it's just amazing how many people like myself have been bound to fear and not wanting to live their life on basically a lie that the enemy was telling me that, you know, I always heard these things, I would die in a storm, and you know, all this, so I did everything I could to keep from ever putting myself in that situation because of that.
Another way of tormenting a Christian and blocking our lives, not that they can be in our spirit person that's born again, but they hang out in the body and the mind, will, emotion part of us, the soul. Well,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
you became a team leader, and tell us what you've been seeing.
Yeah, well, a major thing just happened within, what do you say, about three weeks ago, I was down at my cousin's house. He's actually my second cousin. He's 65 years old. He's my dad's first cousin. And he had owned his own business. He's a bachelor, lives by himself. And he was out moving some frames. He owns a salvage yard, a wrecking yard for automotive cars. And he was out moving some frames, and he was climbing up on top of one of them. And one of them actually slipped and fell and pinned him on the ground with these weight of these frames literally pinned to the ground. And he actually had broken his foot. I mean, literally, it was cracked in several different places. So he goes into the doctor, and they give him a walking boot, tells him that it's fractured, and they took some x-rays, and it's broke. There's, you know, go ahead and go and take the boot. Let's see what happens. So he goes away, takes the boot, goes back in for another X-ray. About 3 or 4 weeks later, X-ray's identical, just like it was before. So they told him, they said, well, Jim, looks like you're going to end up having to have surgery. So he said, let's go ahead and schedule the surgery, and we'll see what we're going to do. Well, it just so happened, I was down there, and I was kind of looking at him, and I told him, I said, well, Jim, I didn't know at the time I didn't know his religious beliefs for sure. So I asked him, I said, well, Jim, do you believe in that God is, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again? And he said, yeah, absolutely. I said, so you'd say you're a Christian man? He said, yeah, for sure. And I said, well, my wife and I have been going to deliverance and healing. And I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? And he says, man, he says, no, that's fine. I'd be happy with that. So I just put my hands on him like that. We do the C1, C2 commands, you know, to go. And I just said, you know, everything come into a godly order, line up, all pain go, healing angels back these commands, new parts is needed. And before I started, I said, Holy Spirit, just use me. Just don't let me become part of this. And I noticed myself saying words that I don't say as I was speaking to him. I can't really repeat them all right now because I don't even remember all, but I was saying almost like medical-type terms as I was praying for him. And my dad was there, and I said, go ahead and put your hand on him. So he put his hands on him because he's a Christian as well, so, you know, we're all laying hands on him. And we're praying, and then I got finished, and I could kind of tell in his face he just looked different. But he was not 100%, but I could just tell something. I said, Jim, how do you feel? And he said, well, my shoulders are way lighter. I feel lighter. So it's a pretty good walk up to his gate where we have to get out. And I noticed he was walking a little bit better, but he still had a little bit of a limp. But I could tell he was walking better. So we went ahead and left. It was probably a couple weeks later, I saw him at a car show. We were together, and he got me way off back in the back corner of swap meet, and he said, I got to tell you something. And I'm like, okay. He says, you remember the day you come down and prayed for me? And I said, yeah. And he says, well, I got to tell you a miracle happened, and I want to tell you about it. And I'm like, praise God, you know. So he says, well, what happened is about right after you left, when I woke up the next morning, I was dizzy. He said, I mean dizzy. I was weak. I was crawling. I wasn't sick because he said I felt fine. I could just tell that I was really had no energy. And he said I was just crawling all over the place. Go back to my bathroom, pick myself up, walk to the couch, and he said I laid down. He said I literally just laid down for about 24 hours. He said then I got up, and I noticed when I got up I was no longer in pain. So I walked to the door, opened the door, no pain. He said, I walked down to my shop, no pain. I said, I was awestruck because I had been, you know, limping and being in such pain. He said, that was on a Thursday, and it so happened he goes in on Friday for the surgery to determine exactly what they're going to need to do for the surgery. So he's walking in there through the hallway, and the surgeon's walking there with him. He said, Jim, you're walking awfully good for a man with a broken foot. And he says, I'd like to take another X-ray of that because he said, we may need to, you know, maybe reanalyze how we're going to handle this situation. So he says, well, I'm on board with that. So he goes in there and he takes the X-ray, and he said the doctor come back in, kind of a bum look on his face, and he's got three X-rays in his hand. He says, Jim, I want to show you something. He says, this is week one. This is week four. They were identical. He said, this is today. He put it down. He said, all the cracks were gone. All the inflammation was gone. He said it literally looked somebody else's foot had been put, X-ray had been put beside his. And the doctor says, Jim, I've got actually no explanation for this. But if you do not need surgery, he said, actually, you don't need anything, but said your insurance will pay for physical therapy if you want it covered. And he said, praise God. You know, and the doctor was speechless. And he said, absolutely healed.
Praise God.
Yes.
That's our Jesus. That's the power we've been given from the cross to speak in his name, John 14:12, to do the same works of Jesus in his name. So that's awesome. Did you ever think you'd be doing these kind of things, Anthony?
I never did. And it was another thing, while we were there at the swap meet, there was a guy that we've known for years, and I didn't know his religious backgrounds either, but I just said, he's kind of known to be kind of outspoken. So I said, Holy Spirit, use me. You know, I don't know what to say here, because he was walking up as Jimmy was telling his testimony. And about that time he walks up, and I'm actually telling Jim I'm going to give him one of your books, because I had one in the car. And so Steve walks up and he says, well, what book is that? And I'm like, oh, I said, well, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And I mean, I said it just as proud as I ever had. And he said, oh, really? He said, well, I've been kind of wanting to talk to someone about some religion. And so here we get into this full-blown conversation about your book, about deliverance healing and deliverance ministry. And I actually even gave him one of your books. So I'm anxious to find out, you know, next time I talk to him, how he was. But I could tell he was, that was divine intervention. Heather was with me there. She heard it, you know, the whole conversation. And we both went away like, you know, Steve was sent to that part of the swap meet at exactly the right time.
Well, that's the Holy Spirit coordinating, isn't he? He's so awesome. Mm-hmm. And you're definitely living a supernatural life, Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I remember I asked you one time, you know, if I'm ever trying to tell somebody about this deliverance, what's the best way to go about it? And you told me, tell your testimony. And that's what I do. I tell everybody I had fear of storms, and now I don't. And that there's absolutely nothing short of a miracle took place there. And nobody can argue with
nobody,
that. People that knew me knew
nobody
that.
Nobody can argue. No. That's right. Nobody can argue with a testimony. They may argue about theology, but they can't argue with a testimony. That's the beauty of it, and that's what we're doing here on the show tonight. Well, does Heather have anything that she'd like to share?
Yeah, she does. She's right here. I'll give her.
Hello.
Yeah, Heather. Glad you're on.
Hi.
At pretty high adventure there with what your husband is experiencing.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe you could give a quick background on yourself and then how you got into deliverance.
Sure. So, like Anthony had said, he had the family friend, you know, that had kind of introduced him to it. And then when I met Anthony, we both went and saw his friend, and I got some help with some issues I was having, and then we met his daughter, Jennifer, and she had also helped us through some more deliverance for ourselves and taught, introduced us to you and what was happening on Monday night. So I can say for myself, it seemed like the inner healing was the biggest, it was like a new freedom that I hadn't had before after I had gone through inner healing. And so that was probably the main thing that I seemed to need through deliverance ministry. And then, like Anthony said, then we came and went through the training sessions, and then we started, you know, sitting in on other people's ministry sessions and trying to learn. And then, you know, we started being ministers ourselves, and sometimes we get to work together and sometimes we, you know, work individually, but it's a blessing every Monday night to get to be part of it. And like you said, it's always different, but it's always, it's just a powerful thing to see, you know, every Monday night when new people get to come and experience it and get to have freedom for themselves, you know. It's awesome.
Yes, and can you think of any of the cases you had that you might share about where things happened?
Yeah, so I had, on one Monday night, I had a lady that came in, and she had several issues going on, a lot of anxiety, depression, things like that. And she had been a missionary in Africa, and so she'd been to Africa many times, and it seemed like a lot of her depression and anxiety was gone, but it kind of switched to fear and physical pain. And so we, learning from the steps, we went through each, like, her top three things. You know, one of them was the physical pain, one was fear. And so I asked the Holy Spirit to take her back to the source of those issues, and then we could deal with those individually. And then it seemed like the biggest change would happen when I would ask Jesus to speak to her about the situation, you know, and clarify things. And she seemed very sensitive to the Spirit, and she could hear Jesus very clearly. And she would be able to write down notes, like what Jesus told her. We had a notebook out, and so she could write down what Jesus was telling her. So she has that now that she could refer back to, you know. So that was awesome. It seemed like the inner healing was huge for her deliverance.
Yes.
Yes.
Praise God.
And then because she was so sensitive to the spirit, I asked to speak to the head demon. And so its name was Anger, and said he had 7 working under him. And so I made Anger tell her the list of lies, you know, that he had been speaking to her. And so that was really, I think, really helpful to her to be able to see all of the things, you know, the lies that he was telling her, he was the cause of the physical pain. And so it was very freeing for her, I think, to be able to realize that the enemy was causing all of those things, that, you know, she didn't put it on herself, and it wasn't like she deserved it, but it was really just the enemy attacking her. And so, of course, then I asked Anger to tell her all of her God-given gifts, and we made a list of those. And then I had him gather up all the 7 and get together and made them all renounce their positions and kick them out.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah. And she got a Jesus overhaul. Praise God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
One thing about interrogating these demons like that, it doesn't take you very long to realize how conniving they are and how they are there to steal, kill, and destroy, that Christians are targets. And many of those they had entry through satanic assignments. You know,
yes,
some,
absolutely.
Some get them through, demons come in through the doors that people open, but then especially with Christians, a lot of them come in from assignment from Satan's war room to steal, kill, and destroy in that Christian's life so they don't do their destiny in their ministry. Do you remember how what the entry was that spirit had?
Those assignments, I believe it was an assignment.
Yeah, they so often are, especially strong Christians like she obviously is, being a missionary. And the good news, assignments are so easy to break because we have how much power?
All power.
All power as we speak in Jesus' name. Luke 10:19.
Yes.
And that's something
that's right.
We quote a lot at the Deliverance Ministries. And, of course, it performs itself as we speak it. And any Christian, of course, can speak it, and it will go forth. It hurts the demons just to speak it out. And, of course, we want to hurt them a lot. Well, do you have anything else quickly to share?
The only other thing I want to share is, since we've been coming to Deliverance, we've learned about the power of the blood of Jesus and to use the blood. And I just have a quick story. Anthony was working on a car. He was doing something with a hammer, and he'd taken the hammer and he was hitting it, and like in a vise, he'd held this part in a vise and was hitting it with a hammer, and he hit his hand as hard as he was hitting the part. And I was there and I witnessed it, and I could have sworn that his hand was broken. And so as soon as it happened, I mean, there was this giant bubble on his hand. It was swelling up like really fast. And so we said, we apply the blood of Jesus, you know, that nothing bad will come of this, that we just speak healing over it. And healing angels, we asked, you know, to be here and helping angels. And then after we applied the blood, the swelling just went down, and he had no pain, and there was no effects from it after that. And so that's just one other huge thing that we've learned is to apply the blood.
Yes, and that's for all of us again. That's not a special gift thing. All Christians can do this. You just need to learn and do it, as we all have.
That's right.
Well, those are awesome. And who knows what's ahead, Heather, for you and Anthony.
I know, it's exciting.
The high adventure of doing the works of Jesus. Well, blessings to you guys. Go forth, amen.
Amen. Thank you for having us on the show.
Thank
you for calling in this evening. Well, those are awesome testimonies, especially about the foot.
That's good. You know, you can't argue over those X-rays.
No, you can't. I mean, Some could, but it would be kind of pointless to argue over it. But it is kind of
doctor,
cool.
Yeah, the doctor says
like that.
No surgery needed now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you have, this is my foot before, this is my foot after, and the only thing we did was command it to heal. I mean, that is just, that's just awesome. And that's just great. And that's even neat with hitting the hand with the hammer. I mean, I've hit my hand many times with a hammer. And
Applying
the blood of Jesus is not what I usually do. I usually scream out loud and say something I shouldn't have said.
Oh, man, yes.
And, I'll probably try to remember that now and do that instead of the other, and I probably have better luck with how quick it quits hurting. But Pastor,
amen.
We have Craig on the line. Craig, thank you for joining us.
Well, good evening.
Good evening, Craig. Thank you for calling. Ralph is on here with us from Missouri. And
okay.
I'm excited that he's out, and you're out in Elk City tonight, right?
Well, no, I just got back out from I was out there earlier today. I'm here back in Stillwater now.
Oh, okay. Up north of us here in Oklahoma City, up at Stillwater, where OSU is, in fact, Oklahoma State University. Well, Craig, excited you're here, and you might give some background on yourself and when you were born again, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then any experiences that you think would be neat to share.
Well, I'd be glad to. I grew up in a Catholic home. I actually went through a Catholic elementary school up to the eighth grade. Once I got away from home and married, at the age of 22, I had a good friend of mine who was an attorney who presented the gospel to me one night in a Bible study, and in a way that I'd never heard it before, and it really rang home. And that evening, I remember it so well that he led me to the Lord, and he actually got a group of people together and had me baptized, full immersion baptism that evening.
Wow.
And I remember him sitting out in downtown Guthrie, Oklahoma, and he was like, "Brother, on your way home, if something happens, I'll see you on the other side." And it was such a, remember, amazing night. I will never forget that, you know. As far as deliverance, Rock Long, many years later, I had been through, came a point in my life where I wasn't even sure I belonged to the Lord anymore because of the attack, the fear, they were all coming against me. I didn't understand it. And I had a gentleman that was working for me. I was living in Elk City. I had a gentleman working for me, had been working for me for a couple, 3 years, and he just asked me one night, "Is there anything I could, you know, go, how's things going?" And I finally opened up to him and told him what all was going on in my life. And he said, "Well, can I bring my wife over here tomorrow night and we'll pray with you?" So they did. The next day they came over. We sat down at a time of prayer. And during that time, it became very clear that I was to study your work. This couple were had trained under you for a while, and after a few weeks of studying and actually getting online, listening to your recordings, I knew that I needed to come see you for deliverance myself. And I will never forget that day in 2011, August 28th, I walked through the door. You were the first person to greet me, and I remember you looking at me going, "I've got to work with you tonight." There was just something about that evening that you instantly connected that we needed to work, you needed to work with me. We were able to get a head demon up, if you remember well. I remember once we cast that demon out, that, or you did through the power of the Spirit, that I actually hit my head on the wall behind my chair.
You jerked so hard.
I did.
The spirit came out. I remember that. How many demons were under the hit demon? Do you remember? I don't. It's been too long.
There was, I think, almost every demon on our list was circled. There was over 30 that left that night. You know, there were some generational things there. There were things where I had opened doors to unforgiveness and other things in my life that gave them the legal right to be there, and we dealt with all that. That same night was the night that I was healed of diabetes.
Hallelujah.
And it's been an amazing walk since then. You and I had a few weeks back, I had come to a point where I had done some things that the Lord had asked me not to do. I had moved away from an area, and I know I've got to go back there now, but the Lord sent me to you again saying, Craig, you've allowed some things to come back into your life, and they were assignments. And I understand what he meant by that is that we have the authority to deal with that, and I had not followed the Lord in staying in Elk City like he had asked me to. And through my disobedience and not dealing with those issues, Satan was once again able to put some assignments on me. And you and I had a meeting here a couple weeks ago there at Deliverance. Again, we pulled up the head demon. And he had 10 under him at this time. We dealt with those things. Now I'm really looking forward to what the Lord has next. I'm in the process of getting moved again back out to Elk City.
Praise God. And was that demon there by assignment? Do you remember that?
Yes, they were all by assignment.
Not the same demon, I don't imagine. Do you remember what it was?
No, it was not. This one was Destroyer, was the head demon. And that was by assignment.
Different group had been put on assignment to continue to try to block your life. And that's the war we're in. We're in the war zone till we go to heaven. And Christians have got to learn to defend themselves. So many Christians, and I was one of them up to age 44, I had no idea about this and the war that we're in, and the enemy loves it like that because we're totally vulnerable, and we don't even know we don't know about the war even, much less know how and what to shoot at in Jesus' name. So, hallelujah. Well, how's your life now?
Well, things are going forward. I was out in the Elk City area today doing a one job interview. I've got another one in the morning. And it had just really, everything had come to a block of me being able to get back out there. And through that assignment, that's what's going on. So since that time, I've got these two job interviews. And I've already was told one they're going to move forward with me. I'm going to meet with, this will be the fourth interview with the one I've got with the actual owner of the company in the morning. That'll be here in Stillwater. And I really expect to be able to move forward that. And now it's going to be a decision of seeking the Lord to see where he wants me in that, you know, which place he would like for me to be at. Both of them are within areas of my expertise. When I first went through Deliverance, one thing that really hit me hard is that I attended seminary one time in my life, and we were never trained in this area. And it really, we have allowed Satan to have some authority, it looks like, where we shouldn't have. That we as Christians must take that authority and deal with these issues as the Bible commands us to do. And I wonder, so many times, are we trying to do God's work man's way in some of our churches? And although people are saved all the time in those churches, I don't have anything against them. I just think we are missing out on a very big ministry by not doing this.
Well, of course, what we find out is that while salvation is most important to get our ticket to heaven, there's a whole lot more to the gospel beyond salvation and how to live our lives and live abundant and free of the demonic. And that's where the body of Christ, at least here in the U.S., seems to be lacking. I've been to Haiti twice, and down there, those people know all about the demonic. They grew up around the voodoo. They know all about demons. But you ask a typical Christian here about them, just like I was prior to age 44, I didn't know anything. I didn't even know they were around. After all, it's the space age. You know, give me a break. Evil spirits still hanging around? Well, they are. And they haven't gone anywhere. Nothing's changed. There hasn't been any cutoff date. And what we read about in the New Testament with Jesus is still the same ball game today. And the good news of that being we have this power Jesus gave us from the cross to do his works and with the authority. So we all have a job to do to share this and to get it out. I was thinking while you were talking then about the destroyer head demon that I had up with you a few weeks ago. You'd been interviewing quite a bit without success, and sure enough, as I interrogated the demon, it admitted it had been blocking employment. You remember that? Could you hear it talking?
Very well, and it was doing several things there. It was also blocking on my resume that I wasn't getting the interviews, along with those interviews that I was getting, it was blocking there as well.
And
that is just totally turned around.
Well, yeah, there's no way it would be the same, because those things, again, are not there for our health, nor are they there for good employment. Stealing, killing, and destroying comes in many ways, and it was certainly doing that, so I'm so excited. But, you know, what comes to us, Craig, is how many more are out there like that? We flushed up demons before. I remember one man from Dallas. I got the head demon up, and this man was in a company. Everybody was selling the product but him. So the product was good, but he couldn't seem to sell. And he came up from Dallas, Oklahoma City, for ministry, and this head demon admitted that it was influenced the demons in the people that he was trying to sell to in a negative way. So all those games are going on. You know, it's beyond what we would have imagined what's happening around us here. So it behooves a Christian certainly to learn how to deal in this. But, yeah, there's no way. You have to be totally different now.
Oh, yes. Like I said, things are looking up much better. I'm seeing a little more money flow my way. Like I said, I've got to get a move made. I've got to get this employment deal worked out so I can be where the Lord wants me. And it seems as though it's not just in the everyday Christians, but that everybody that has the work they're supposed to do in the Lord, at some time in their life, Satan's going to come at them to try to block that work. And our labor for the Lord will become much more difficult. And once they go through deliverance, once they learn deliverance and learn to do it for themselves, then those things can be stopped so that the work becomes easier and flows better through the Holy Spirit of what we are supposed to be doing.
Yes. And as the scriptures say, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil, and he did it, and we are enforcing it. So if we're to do the same works of Jesus, John 14:12, and that's what we're doing. But we got to
exactly.
Get this word out to the body of Christ to be aware and to learn who they are in Jesus to learn that they have the power to speak in his name, power of attorney from Jesus himself to deal in this, and we win when we shoot. So until we go to heaven, I get, it's tired of having to do it and help people, but I see it now why Jesus commanded believers in Mark 16:17 to cast out demons, because most people have got them. And I'm convinced this side of Jesus, it would be a rare person that doesn't have their share. And we find so often people have around 36 spirits first time around in the deliverance. And so that's why he commanded us to do it. It's just that we haven't followed his instructions real well over these 2,000 years, it appears to me, here in the United States.
Well, exactly. And as you talk, I've talked to several pastor friends of mine. They, most of them, don't even know about this. They, when I was in the seminary, I asked about some of this, and I was told, well, the Spirit has changed. Well, the Spirit, per the God's Word, is not going to spread. God's going to change. That means the Spirit is not going to change. So this is something that is there, and it's not being taught to many of our people who are leading our churches.
Yes. A day is but 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is but a day, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's the same ball game, and we just need to move in it. But when we move in it, we win. I'll bet you're feeling really good these days.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The blockage is gone. The way he was attacking me mentally is gone. There's a joy again there, and walking along doing a joy and moving forward in what the Lord has for me to do. I'm really excited about it. It was really a struggle before, a couple weeks ago, again, for me. It was nowhere near the level it had been back in 2011. But
you didn't hit your head against the wall this time, did you?
No, I didn't.
Back in 2011, you were sitting with your back to the wall, and when that head demon came out with all his group, you arched backwards, and your head hit the wall. And so I didn't have you sitting next to a wall this last time a few weeks ago, did I?
No, sir, you were sitting against the wall this time, had me out there in front of you, so that's very true.
Well, in the minutes remaining here, Craig, what else would you say to the people as we wind up with you about this kind of ministry?
From somebody who was very skeptical because of my training, study, look at what you put out there, there's, an hour teaching that you give every Monday evening. Take time to look at that and realize the Lord has never changed. His commands for what us to do have never changed. To take the time to learn it, to walk through it yourself for your own deliverance, because every Christian, there are things in their past that we open doors to. There's assignments that need to be dealt with. That way you can walk fuller within the Spirit. You can walk fuller in what your God-given destiny is. Don't let it scare you. I remember a pastor telling me one night years ago, he was mentoring me. He was an associate pastor. And during that conversation, he told me about, Craig, you're about to receive the Holy Spirit. And about three nights later in my quiet time, it hit me. And he told me, Craig, look for these signs that it is the Spirit. You will be scared. Your mind will be scared. But allow the Spirit to flow. And when I realized it was the Spirit, it just flowed.
Praise
Deliverance
God.
Is nothing to be scared of. It is something to free us. To do yeah. the Lord's work in a more full way.
Well, Craig, thank you, brother, for sharing. That's an awesome testimony. We covered a lot of ground there, and I look forward to seeing you again soon, and I know you'll be getting the perfect employment that you're seeking quickly. Blessings to you, brother.
Thank you, Everett.
Thank you,
sir. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night.
Good night, sir.
Pastor, I want to read 1 Peter 5:8 from the Amplified.
Yes.
Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. And be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. We have to remember, Peter was not writing to the non-believers. He was writing to Christians, specifically the 12 tribes spread abroad. And
then he said, resist the devil.
Resist the devil, that's right. Resist.
And he will flee.
One scripture. He will flee.
Knowing that same afflictions are happening in the Christians around you.
Yes. But one of those ways he can come is to devour someone through their paycheck, through a job, through their health, through the stealing of their children, to the stealing of their happiness, stealing of their, stealing from them to make them depressed. There's just all these different ways that can come against you. And this was an example of one where it had come, where the adversary has come to block his employment. Because when one's not employed, then worry comes, and fear comes, and all these things that are opposite of what Jesus has us do. And, I do believe this man will be having a perfect job here soon, and we do lift him up, try to lift him up in prayer. Remember that, Craig? And we do stand upon the promises that that our cup will overflow it. So, good testimony. Good testimony.
Amen.
Fantastic. And we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. You can go to deliveranceusa.com. All the things that were talked about there, the training that that Craig talked about, it's right there on the website, or you can get the book Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. You can get those by calling the office. And we do thank everybody for tuning in this week. We will see everybody next week. God bless, and have a good night.
God bless.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing.